It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
I like that. Let's save for the future. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. We've got a full 2 hours today and plenty of red meat we're going to pull out of the refrigerator. We're going to start with the archives. This week, I found one of the coolest videos that I can... This is, you know, once in a while, you'll get on YouTube and you'll just click through and you end up finding something you never thought you would find, almost as if you discovered some sort of ancient pile of treasure, if you will. Well, that happened this week to me. And it was in the form of a grainy, crackly old video of Warren Buffett way back in 1999. It was a long time ago. Speaking to a group of college kids, ready to graduate, preparing them for the world. And some of the things that he talked about, this is a full hour talk. Some of the things that he talked about in that are so relevant today. They're so unbelievably relevant today that I want to share them with you. So we dig out the archives of Warren Buffett. And that's what we're going to talk about today, or at least we're going to start out with that and get to that. There was a wonderful article this week in the Wall Street Journal about aging and how to change your perceptions about aging and then how that translates into a better, happier retirement. So we need to cover that. And then, of course, this market. Well, then I also had another light bulb. This is obviously a fascinating week. I also had a light bulb go off when it comes to the Social Security conversation. I know that for the last couple of months, we've dipped in and out of talking about the importance of when you take Social, 62, 66, 70, file, suspend, all the complications around that. And I had a wonderful conversation this week with a family that I've been working with for almost 10 years, and now they're at that stage of, hey, do I take Social or not? And they're in this interesting position where it really doesn't matter how they do it. They've got lots and lots of options. And it's the optionality of Social Security that is so important to be able to continue to hold on to. So there is a lot to talk about this week. The number here in the studio, if you want to join the conversation, because something's going to pop up and you're going to say, hey, maybe I should ask Wes that. Well, that's why we're here on Sunday mornings. The number 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. In the phone room this morning, the Venerable James Lewis, certified financial planner, also ready to take your call and patch those through to us here this morning. Now, we know that we had a rally this week. Pretty powerful rally, and it's been that way over the course, really the past month. 28th of September is when this nasty market, quick and painful market correction, close to 13, almost 14% of the S&P 500 that took us well into negative territory for the year, kind of ended around that 28th was the kind of the trough of that. And we have powerfully climbed back ever since then. This week, another layer of gains on top of the market, getting us back to basically even. Well, Dow Jones still down 1% on the year, S&P 500 up 0.8% on the year. Let's talk about, just briefly, remember there are these presidential cycles. I've written about this, where you have the third year of the presidential cycle, you get this. That's the year when the market typically or historically does the best. So that's the data. If you go back to 1939, the S&P 500 has always finished higher during the third year of the presidential cycle. We're in the third year. Next year's the fourth as we go into the election year. But again, the streak, maybe this year is at risk. We've got the 2.5 months left, 2015. S&P's only up a fraction of a fraction. And we were firmly in the red until the rally we had this past week. So my good friend Dan Clifton says that may be changing. Dan Clifton at Strategus Research Partners notes that the gains that have shifted now to the first year of the cycle when the new president takes office. Since 2005, S&P 500 has gained just 1.8% following the midterm election, while soaring 18.7% during the first year. And I can just tell you, I love these presidential cyclical facts and which year is good and which year is bad for the market. But I put zero stock in any of it. Just coincidence, in my opinion. A lot of these almanac-y type things that seem as though they're patterns. I'm a firm believer that most of that is just coincidence. And us as humans, we're trying to find a pattern. We feel comfortable when we have found a pattern. And that's exactly what a lot of this is, in my opinion, at least. So it's not a good or a bad thing. It just means that I don't think that just because it's the third year of the presidential cycle, the market has to do well. The market's going to do well when it comes to earnings, when it comes to the economy. That's what really matters. Now, part of that we saw this week. How did we end up 2.5% on the Dow Jones this week? Again, just 5 days. Well, Mario Draghi, head of the European Central Bank, dishes out even more stimulus to Europe. So it's the same thing that keeps happening here, where we keep getting stimulus and we keep having low rates, and the central bank continues to buy bonds and keeps rates low. That's going to continue to happen in Europe, and the market loved that. We also saw decent economic news out of China. GDP 6.9% to the positive. And stocks here love all of that. So we also had some blowout earnings. McDonald's on Thursday, I want to say, was up something like 7% on the day. 8% on the day. 7.5%. Google, Microsoft, Amazon, all tremendous earnings and tremendous moves north. So NASDAQ for the week up 3%. So we've had a lot of repair that has gone on from a stock perspective. Now, the broader rally itself, you've got to really look inside these averages to see it's not necessarily that broad of a rally, even though we've seen over 1,000 points now on the Dow. It doesn't mean, if you look at the S&P 500, it doesn't mean every stock is up tremendously. But we've seen some real leadership out of companies like McDonald's and Google's of the world and Microsoft's and Amazon that have done really, really well. All right, so keep that in mind when you look at your own portfolio. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. I guess we've got a lot of calls on hold here. James is telling me to go to Snellville. I think I'm going to start to go to Carrollton. I think that's where we're going to go. We're going to start with Paul, who joins us from Carrollton. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Good morning, Wes. Excellent program, sir. Enjoy listening. Curious about the ballyhoo about China getting world reserve currency status possibly next year when the IMF votes.
There's been Paul, the reason I took your call here, I saw on my screen China reserve world currency, and I've gotten a lot of questions about that in the last week or so, the last month. And the Chinese right now are let's say they're scrambling to have their currency be part of the global transactional conversation. They want the yuan or the renminbi, whatever you want to call it, they want that to be a world currency. And the worry, I think, for us here in America, and the calls that I've been getting, it goes something like this. Hey, Wes, I've heard that the Chinese currency is going to effectively replace the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency. Doesn't that sound like a really bad thing for the dollar? And the answer is, yeah, that if that happened, that would be a pretty bad thing. And we'd see a dramatic decline in what is obviously an important currency for us. The problem with that, so on the surface, it looks like if they just switched over, that'd be a really bad thing. But it doesn't happen that way. And really what will probably happen, number one, the Chinese have to be able to relinquish some control. Remember, they have this tremendous amount of state control over everything over there. They publish their own economic numbers, their stock market falls, the government comes in and props it up. They can basically say whatever they want. Economy goes sideways. They say, hey, let's build a city over here in this pasture. And even though there's nobody there, let's just build the city so we can spend money and make our GDP look good. They are an economy that is still so unbelievably controlled by the central bank. And one thing they're going to have to do, Paul, in order to have their currency as a real part of the world and the world conversation, part of the economic makeup of the globe, they've got to let their currency freely float. And right now they fully control that. So If that happens over the next 5 years, is the first possibility this would happen, is they would have to give up control of the yuan. They'd have to give up control of being able to effectively peg it to whatever they want to peg it to, which right now it's basically pegged to the dollar. And they, and in my opinion, I don't see the Chinese really doing that. I don't think that they let, they give up free control and let their own currency float. And right now they have this tremendous control of it. So number one, I don't think that'll happen. Number two, and this is what should give all of us a little bit of peace of mind when it comes to worrying about this, this what could be a seismic shift, is that right now it's basically the US dollar, number one currency in the world by far, and then the euro. You take those two and you're talking about over 90% of all monetary transactions are taken up by those two currencies. Then everybody else, the other 8% is effectively the Japanese yen, a little bit of the renminbi, you've got some the Indian rupee, you've got all these other currencies that make up that really small sliver of the economic pie. It will take decades upon decades to just logistically shift from the two major currencies that are that dominate economics today. You can't just overnight replace $17 trillion of daily transactions in a currency that only takes up 2% of world transactions today. So there is no way logistically, even though these letters and newsletters and scare letters will have you think that, hey, the US dollar's going away, it's not. And it's not going away anytime soon. And there's no way logistically it could go away. And it could take, if it does, it will take the better part of 20 or 30 or 40 years, but it's not something that can happen overnight. So as you read these scare letters and scare tactics that are all over the internet and newsletters that'll come into your email any and on any given day, don't let those newsletters scare you in thinking that the US dollar is going to get replaced overnight, because it just can't physically, logistically happen. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. You're listening to Money Matters right here on WSB and KRMG, Tulsa.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Coming up in the bottom of the half hour, I want to talk about this Warren Buffett archive video I found back from 1999 with just some fascinating stuff. A girl in the front row asked Buffett this interesting question. She says, what do you suggest for people who choose to go into a career that's not going to pay that much? What do you do? Interestingly, she said, a career like something where you don't get paid a lot, like medicine. What if you choose to be a doctor or music or performing arts? How would you advise us to keep up financially with the rest of the world? Doctors, I know, don't make what they used to make, but they still do okay. I wouldn't call that taking one for the team career-wise. I mean, that's kind of funny. We've got a time for one call, and then we'll get to these Buffett files in the next segment. The number 404-872-0750 will go to Ken, who joins us. Ken, good morning from Snellville. How can we help?
Good morning. How you doing, Wes?
Good.
Okay. The question is, I'm 44. Don't have much in savings, but I want to start aggressively saving. I have about $3,000 that I've saved in the last year. Do I take that $3,000, put it in a Roth IRA, or just start slowly putting money into like a Roth and divert it different ways and save in the savings account and put it there, or just take what I got now and just go there?
Ken, if you're 44, let's say you've got a full 20 years before you stop working, you've got to get that money into a Roth. You don't need to slowly piece it in there. You've got to fully fund that thing as rapidly as possible. So okay. If I were you, I'd get the full three in and hope to do another up to your $5,500 limit for the year, and then have your eyes on doing it the same for next year. And if you can do that every single year, and being as young as you are, you can effectively be mostly in equities. So you want to look at something like Vanguard Dividend Appreciation ETF, symbol VIG, something that is mostly an equity position, because you have time. And you don't have to worry about volatility. In fact, you want volatility. We think as investors that we want the markets to always go up. Quite frankly, for a guy like you, you don't want to hear that, hey, the Dow's rallied back 10% this year. You're better off taking the $3,000 and putting it to work when the Dow's down 10%. So use the headlines as a counterintuitive time to put more and more money to work. Every time that the world gets scary and you see that the Dow's down a bunch, that's when Ken from Snellville wants to be buying. Not when I come on the radio and say, hey, everything's great. The market was up 2.5%, 3% this week. Google up 10% in a day. Those are times when you actually, and I'm not telling you to time the market here, but really pay attention to when things don't look all that good, Ken. That's when you really want to get, you want to effectively get more aggressive at saving and do this with, and do this every single year until you retire, and then you'll have a fighting chance to be able to stop working, retire early. Hey, retire sooner than you think. Five Bunny Seekers, the Happiest Retiree. Sounds like a title of a book. We've got the Buffett Files coming up in our next segment. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, live WSB Radio in Atlanta. Also, KRMG in Tulsa. And of course, our this is something that is, the tragedy really has struck too in Oklahoma about this senseless tragedy of this. It's hard to even fathom why this happened or how this happened. And four people are dead and 40 some people are injured as a car just careens through a parade. And our prayers go out to the families in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and the Cowboy family, or the Cowboy family that I know that is a compassionate, prayerful group. So our prayers are with you for this ridiculous, senseless tragedy, absolutely, on this Sunday morning. Again, the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. There is so much going on here this Sunday morning, and I have found this wonderful video that goes back many, many years to when Warren Buffett was still, well, it's I guess it's not that many years. We're talking about a decade and a half or so, but the advice is might as well be for today. And the advice is right on point with so many of the things we talk about here on Money Matters, but from a perspective that I hadn't learned, I hadn't thought about for a very long time. And this is something that I want to get to here. We're going to go to the phones. We have time for one quick call. Then we're going to go to the Buffett Files and answer this question from a girl in the front row asked Buffett, hey, Mr. Buffett, Warren, what do you suggest for people who choose to go into a career that's not going to pay that much? Interestingly, she said a career like medicine or music or performing arts. How would you advise us to keep up financially with the rest of the world? Pretty insightful question for someone in college to ask, by the way, but an even more insightful answer from Warren Buffett. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll have time for one question here before we go back to the Buffett Files. Bob joins us from Stone Mountain. Bob, good morning. Welcome to the show. How can we help?
Yeah, how you doing, Wes? Good to talk to you. Listen, tell me what to do if I have $50,000 in a little tiny savings account. Tell me what to do with that money so I can make money. Now, you're going to laugh at me. I'm an old tightwad. I'm 78 years old. Me and my twin brother are 78 years old. And I want you to give me advice what to do with that $50,000.
Well, what do you do with it now, Bob?
Nothing.
Now, when you said tiny, isn't this the world is so relative? So tiny, you say tiny amount. For some people, $50,000, that's a suitcase of cash, Bob.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
That's a lot of money. Now, have you done any other investing before, or are you just getting frustrated because it's paying you almost zero? It's basically zero. You might get 28 cents a month on interest in the bank, right?
That's my point. That's exactly, you hit it right on the head. All I want to do is make some money on that money.
Well, I think it goes back to...
Some other money, you know, with good old Vanguard and all that stuff, but I don't even want to talk about that right now. All I want to know is, what should I do with that $50,000?
Well, first of all, I think where you make this leap here, Bob, is that I'm a big believer in getting some sort of steadiness out of income. So you and I both know that the stock side of the market is all over the place all the time. There's always a 10% premium or a 10% discount at any given time just has to do with the emotional state of our country. And on a $17 trillion economy and a multi-trillion dollar stock market, you've got $1 trillion of froth to the upside, and you've got $1 trillion that we should be worth more just because we don't feel good in any particular month. So you've got this gigantic band that's just purely emotion at any given time. So we can't control the level of the market. What we can control are things like owning companies right here in our backyard, like Southern Company, or right here in our backyard, like Coca-Cola, or Home Depot, that have a history, 20, 30, 50, 100 years, in some cases, of never missing a dividend payment. And I think that that is something that if you're frustrated as an investor and your money's sitting there doing nothing, then why not let it sit there in a company that's paying you $2 or $2.50 per share to hold it. Now, that piece of the pie is steady. We still can't control the underlying value of a Southern Company or a Coca-Cola or a Home Depot or Google, for that matter. Now, Google doesn't pay a dividend, so I'm talking about companies that have significant yields no matter what the stock does, as long as it continues to do okay. See, the great thing about dividends is the stock doesn't need to be in a thriving position. It just needs to be okay. It needs to have a little bit of growth. They need to continue to run a decent business, and they continue to return cash to shareholders. And that's why the dividend story, and that's the first piece in dividends, interest, distributions, those three add up to a portfolio yield. If you've listened to Money Matters, you've heard me say this many times, but the dividend piece is, to me, the most powerful, particularly for the next decade. And if you can find a handful of companies or an ETF that does this for you, a ETF that has 20, 30, 50 of these all packaged up into one basket, then you can start to rely and focus in on the steadiness of that one particular piece, Bob, and that can start replacing, it can start replacing the cash flow that you used to get out of a money market that, hey, it wasn't that long ago. Money markets paid 3.5%, 4%. They don't do that anymore. So you've got to look at other areas to do that. Just understand, Bob, and I think you know this, that it's going to come with more volatility than it would than you would have if your money's sitting in just a money market. Of course, it'll be more volatility, but over time, you'll start getting used to that steady cash flow. This time, it's not coming from a bank. It's coming from a company that has a history of doing so and never missing. And if you do it right, you'll find a company that all they've done for 30, 40, 50 years is increase that dividend. I think that story becomes really, really powerful. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Also, if you have questions about what we're about to talk about, and then we'll get to Social Security a little bit later in the show, and we'll talk about how this wonderful article in the Wall Street Journal about how we can change the way we feel about aging and how that impacts our retirement. These are some powerful things that are on my radar right now that I really think will help you here on this Sunday morning as you drive around, headed to church, maybe finish church, and you're just coming back, going to brunch. Maybe you're probably headed to golf. It's a little too early to be finished the wonderful game of golf. But we're here on a Sunday morning to have that conversation. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So I'm going to go back to my Buffett story. He's speaking to this group. Who is this group? It was the Nebraska Forum for Nebraska Students. Very descriptive here. And this is back in 1999. And I found this video and I watched it, and I was awestruck about how powerful and yet simple a lot of this advice was. He gave a quick talk about, this is Warren Buffett again talking to a group of students, how they can figure out how to make a good living and how to be good investors and basically stay out of debt, because it's easier to stay out of debt than it is to get out of debt, which was one of his financial considerations or pieces of advice early on in the talk. But then really Buffett's about just, hey, I want to hear what's on your mind. I want to hear what you're worried about. And I think back in 1999, the same exact question would happen today. Because if you're a student right now and you're getting out of school, or you're a parent or grandparent and your grandkids are getting out of school, you're wondering, what are these kids going to do to make a living? And in 20 years from now, and my children, what are they going to do? What are my kids going to do to make a living? The world continues to evolve so rapidly. You do wonder as a parent, a fear I think all parents, what are my kids going to do in this ultra-modern economy that continues to evolve beyond, almost beyond comprehension? What are they going to do? I've got three boys right now, 8, 6, and 3, and I got another one on the way. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but my wife's due, and we effectively have a Valentine. I don't know if I've said this on the air. We have a Valentine's Day due date, so I'll have 4 kids. I don't know what they're going to do into the future. So the question comes to the girl in the front row: What do you suggest, Mr. Buffett, for those people who choose to go into a career that's not going to pay much? Now, insightful question then, insightful question today, and I think I knew what I think I knew that I at least wanted to make a good living, and that I wasn't going to do something that I didn't have at least some interest in. And for better or for worse, and it feels like I ended up being very fortunate or lucky about this, but I ended up in finance. I ended up in the investment world, and I'm lucky enough to love what I'm doing. And I love the vast majority of what this field entails, the vast majority of it. And I think if you love every piece, nobody loves every single piece of everything every minute of the day, but 95% of what we do in my industry I just feel very fortunate and very blessed to be able to be part of this. But no one ever says, and this is where Buffett's first reaction to this is, hey, no one ever says that they really love something. They love their career, they love their job, but they still wish they'd done something else that wasn't as fun or as comfortable, where they just because they could have made more money. So the answer is you do something for love or you do it for money. Buffett's thought is, look, and this makes a lot of sense, you go 20, 30, 50 years into a career, nobody ever goes back and says, gosh, I wish I would have done something that just made me more money that I didn't love it. If you've loved your career, then you... no matter what you made, chances are you have this great satisfaction about it. The next part that he talks about is that he says if you're educated in America and you're hardworking and remember that capitalism works, the chances are you'll make enough money to live prosperously in America and do what, and this is a Buffett quote, you'll do reasonably well. And in doing reasonably well in America is pretty darn good. You don't need a gigantic amount of money to live extremely well in America. And I've actually talked about this, and you can retire sooner than you think. Empirically, I've proven this over and over again. Just hitting some of these important benchmarks, 500,000 is one of them, by the way, doesn't necessarily create a lot more happiness than getting to 5 million or 50 million for that matter, or in Warren's case, over 50 billion. I think he's worth $62 billion right now. He's given away $25 billion. But to his point is that he lives about the same today that he did when he only had about 10 grand to his name. He lives in the same house that he bought in 1958. That's 57 years ago, by the way. He says that having 50 more rooms in his house wouldn't actually be any better. In fact, it'd be worse. And if you have a reasonable job and career, you'll be eating at McDonald's or Dairy Queen. And guess what? So will Warren Buffett. You'll be eating off the same menu. So that's a push. You both can afford the same stuff on the menu. You'll end up pretty much wearing the same clothes, driving pretty much the same car, wearing or watching the same TV shows or same movies, using the same type of computer. You'll have an iPhone, he'll have an iPhone. Long distance might be a little different. You and I will be flying Delta Coach. He'll be flying NetJets private. So that's one difference. All right, more on this. We've got to run here. You're listening to Money Matters. You want to find me and the Money Matters team, go to westmoss.com. Contact button on the left-hand side. Emails come straight to me. Straight ahead, more Money Matters right here on WSB and KRMG Radio.
Back to Wes Moss for the money and investing advice you need.
Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. And I want to finish up what I was talking about with Warren Buffett. Again, his perspective here is that, look, doing pretty well in America, reasonably well, your lifestyle isn't that dramatically different from a guy like Buffett. Now, he's a great example because he doesn't live lavishly at all. He still has the same house, 57 years, still drives a 5 or 8 year old Cadillac. He still eats at McDonald's and Dairy Queen. He still has relatively cheap suits, and he says he looks cheap in his suits no matter how expensive they are. And it's just not that different if you make a decent living in America. And it's just interesting to hear that, because he's living proof of that. He's living proof of that. It makes you almost feel a little bit guilty. And if you don't already feel that way, it's a really nice reminder that great wealth doesn't necessarily mean this unbelievably different lifestyle. But I think the other thing, when I talk about Buffett, or we talk about all, there's another article in the Wall Street Journal talking about all these Buffett millionaires. There's a guy from Dallas, again. He had a coin auction business, sold the coin auction business and bought Berkshire back in 1995. It looks like he had he started with a lot, $2.8 million, but it's worth $19 million today. That sounds like an unbelievable investment, but if you do the math on it, it's really just 10% a year. Now, 10% a year is great, but the S&P 500 isn't that different than the return of Berkshire. If you look at over the same period of time, 1995 until today, the last 20 years, the S&P 500 is up 518% if you count dividends. So 100 grand in the S&P would have equaled now 618. 200 would be 1.2 million. A million would be about 6 million in the S&P 500. So these are pretty amazing numbers, even if you didn't hit the Buffett lottery. And that's an investment that's been right in front of our faces, right under our noses, that whole period of time. All right, we've got lots to get to in the upcoming hour of Money Matters. The number, of course, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, go to wesmoss.com. Contact button on the left-hand side. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, Certified Financial Planner, right here, WSB Radio Atlanta. Also, live in Tulsa, KRMG. When you learn-